Yeah, welcome back to the program. Looking forward to more Best Shed ads from Coach K during the course of the next hour as well. Yeah, no looksy brooksy in the building as well. We're loving that little bit of work there from Coach K. Now, coming up this hour, I didn't get a chance to tell you about that. JA coming up very shortly, actually. She's from Channel 10. We'll get stuck into some text messages. We'll find out what's trending. We'll have Afternoons Amplify. We've got to get across to Steffi and the crew over there at SENZ. So lots going on today on the back of the passing of the legendary John Sattler. We're looking for your toughest players. Toughest players. They don't have to be rugby league, you know. If anyone wanted to nominate Alan Robert Border, they'd go a long way with me. 1300 01 1170. That's the open line number. $100 up for grabs, courtesy of Tristan and the team up there at Top Sport. The text line 0457 736 736. So you send in the best text message today and you can win for yourself the Signet Boost Power Bank. And remember, the Signet Boost Power Bank will keep your phone, tablet and earbuds powered 24/7. Team List Tuesday today. So there's a lot of speculation around about who might be in and who might be out. Cam Munster, a chance to being named for the Melbourne Storm. They need him. They got the Tigers this week. What are the Tigers doing? So some sort of speculation today that there would be Luke Brooks to 5'8", Adam Dwayhe to fullback, and Brandon Wakeham into that halfback role. And I don't forget about this. Oh, we'll make Wakeham wear 6 and Brooks leave Brooks in the number 7. No, take him out of the number 7 jersey and say, mate, this is what you are. You're a running 5'8". So that's what I think you can do. Either that or you're our number 14. Maybe that's what you can do for the West Tigers. Dave Nofaluma set to be collateral damage. So you wonder how long that lasts. And we've got Ken Marmalore would be coming back shortly, I would have thought. So all very interesting. We'll speak to Jaleesa Apps very shortly as well. I did want to touch on this that caught the attention as well. This is the fact that Aaron Finch, the former Aussie captain, has signed with the San Francisco Unicorns in the inaugural edition of, wait for it, Major League Cricket, the MLC. They're not members of the Legislative Council. It's not a building in the middle of Sydney. It's Major League Cricket. So what about this? I love what they're doing. They're going to have it in Dallas mid-July. They're going to have 18 games in 19 days, 6 teams to start with. 4 of the teams are part-owned or owned in full by existing franchises like the Kolkata Knight Riders. So remember, the Kolkata Knight Riders is owned by the, that's the Indian movie star, isn't it? So I'm trying to think, Shah Rukh Khan is the owner of the Kolkata Knight Riders. So they're based in LA. So that makes a whole heap of sense. The LA Knight Riders. MI New York is the Mumbai Indians. So they're MI New York. San Francisco Unicorns, that's owned by a couple of guys, Indian background, who were there at the start of Amazon. So they're okay financially. That's the team that Aaron Finch, he's been the first captain that has been named. And the Unicorns, of course, refers to the fact that if you're a company and your base and your net worth is over $1 billion, your market cap's over $1 billion, then you're referred to as a unicorn. A lot of them of late have come out of the Silicon Valley, which is in San Francisco. So that's why they're called the San Francisco Unicorns. The Texas Super Kings, the Los Angeles Knight Riders, the MI New York, San Francisco Unicorns, the Seattle Orcas, and Washington Freedom. So the really interesting part about it from an Australian perspective is that Washington Freedom is part owned by Cricket New South Wales. And what's the other team? The Unicorns are part owned by Cricket Victoria. Smart. Very, very smart when you think about getting involved at the base level, at grassroots level. Now, so he's going to play Finch. Marcus Stoinis is going to play. English fast bowler Liam Plunkett. Now, he's playing because his wife is American. Geelong cricketer Brodie Couch, he plays for the Stars in the Big Bash League. He's got an American mother, so that means he can be selected as a local. I read this and I immediately thought, just a minute, Austin, get your cricket bat. Get your cricket bat out. Come on, buddy. See the ball, hit the ball. That's what we're looking for, pal. I'd love to go over and live in San Francisco for a couple of months. Maybe Dallas? Yeah, that'll do. I don't mind. Come on, buddy. Get out there. Here, I'll give you some throwdowns in the backyard. That would be exciting. Yes, that's all right. Mum can come too, so that would be exciting as well. Give us your thoughts on this. I think it's a fantastic move from cricket. Rugby league. Hello, rugby league. Can someone wake up and talk about international expansion and somehow America get into the conversation on that as well? I'll take your thoughts across all of that. 1300 01 1170 0457 736 736. Tough player Cooper Cronk walked onto the field in a grand final with a broken shoulder and stopped Big Nelson cold on the try line with that shoulder. That's Jack from Old Bar. So there you go. There's a more recent nominee as toughest player that, you know, keep them coming in. But up next, J.A. Probably a little upset that she doesn't have her own intro, which is something we must be working on. Jaleesa Apps from Channel 10. G'day, J.A.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, I just thought of it as I threw to you to say g'day. I thought, well, hang on. Timmy Williams has got his own, brother of Sam. The analyst has got his own intro, but you don't have one.
Oh, well, I might take some industrial action, given we're talking about the NRL today. I'm gonna start covering up my SEN logos.
Oh, that's very good. Okay, so let's start there. So what is the latest on this? The email went out last night to NRLW and NRL players. What's the anticipated action? What's the problem? What's the hold-up, J.A.?
I think that's the thing that we all are just wondering, like, what is the hold up? Because it feels like everything sort of has been compromised on from the NRL's angle, that we're all sitting here now going, okay, so what is the hold up now?
And yeah.
The longer this drags on, this is so damaging. I mean, we've seen from the NRLW point of view, that it's cost, I don't know if you caught the story by Pam Whaley a few days ago on Code Sports, Taylor Curtis. So she was 20 years old. She was meant to be playing for the Sharks. She's done her ACL. Now, they haven't been able to do the NRLW contracts because they're still waiting for this CBA. So she's like a bit of a casualty of that. So she's just lost out on income because she's done her ACL, so why would they sign her?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just the longer this goes on, we should saw the thing that really, there was two things last week that absolutely made my blood boil. One of them was the players not turning up to multicultural round launch, where we were all expecting players from the Bulldogs and the Tigers to be there. Like, you know, there were 300 kids there in the pouring rain, and it was the launch of a really good round.
Yeah.
I understand you're trying to make a stand against the NRLW. Like, Hazem El Masri was there. That's great for someone my age.
Yep.
It's really cool, like, to see Hazem El Masri for me. These kids didn't watch Hazem El Masri, and it was so, I just thought, what a disappointment when you could have promoted a really good round that you did this. The other thing that absolutely infuriated me was what happened to NRL journalist Alicia Newton, who was asked to leave the press conference. If you know anything about Alicia Newton, she has been an absolute ally for the women's game in particular. I mean, she does the men's as well. But nobody pushed the women's game more in all of media for the past few years than Alicia Newton. And she has been, you know, really respectful of the fact, because she's employed as an NRL journalist, that she hasn't gone to certain media ops or she knows, oh, I can't ask a question of this player. And she wasn't going to ask questions of the players because she's respectful that, you know, they're not going to answer and she doesn't want to make a scene like that.
Mm.
But to be kicked out in a press conference that she was already sitting in, and it wouldn't have it wasn't a personal thing against her. It wouldn't have mattered who was there from the NRL, but the fact that she was like, it just amazed me that it was Alicia, because if you know anything about Alicia, she has pushed the game for those players so much. And I just think, how much damage are you going to do to the game to get what you want? And what is it that you want?
So sorry, which press conference was she ejected from?
So she was in the Panthers and the South press conference, right? So
yeah.
The press conference after the game. And she was asked to leave that from the South side of things. So my understanding is the Panthers didn't have a problem with it. From South side of things, she was asked to leave the press conference. And she said, I won't ask Cameron Murray any questions. Like, I know that they don't want to talk to journalists at the moment. And she was still asked to leave. And she had to leave that press conference. So then she had to sit in a car and watch the live stream of the NRL press conference and write up her story that way. So, you know, Alicia has been such an ally of the game and the players, but the fact that it happened to her was just mind-blowing to me because, yeah, like I said, if you know anything about Alicia, she was writing about the women's game before anyone cared about the women's game. She is the person that all journalists, including myself, if they want to know something about the women's game and you're not quite across a player or you haven't watched enough of the player to feel confident about it, you ring her. So that really infuriated me because I just thought, what are you doing? Are you hurting the NRL there? No, you're hurting her.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, there's a couple of names that jump out at me from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I won't mention them on air, but I'll investigate further as to who was it that asked her to leave that press conference. That's extraordinary. That I wasn't aware of that. That is absolutely extraordinary. Okay, and do we have any... So in the email, the RLPA said it wanted agreement on NRLW contracts, a transfer system, an above-forecast revenue model, player payments and player benefit allocations. But do we know... What? Do we have any detail around that? It feels like we don't, JA. And you and I have spoken about this at Christmas time.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what it feels like? It feels like the players don't know everything either. And you couldn't be expect them to be across every detail. But sometimes I felt like in the past few months, when you're asking the players, okay, so what is going on? Like, what is it? They can't really tell you the detail either.
Mm.
So... You know, it's all about this united front. But then, and I think there's players out there that just want to get it done. Of course, they're sick of talking about it. So I just think both sides, it needs to, it's hurting the game. It is to have, you know, journalists taken out of press conference, to have players not turn up to a really important launch of a round. It is so harmful for the game at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. NRL squads to be expanded. I just think, okay, that's really easy to do. You know, all those six players at each club that are on development contracts that aren't allowed to play until round 11, let them play now. Immediately, you've got six extra players per club. Why isn't it that simple?
To let them play now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think when you're doing things, when you're trying to get, you know, all this change through with concussion, it's going to take... a little while to adapt to all that kind of thing. And yes, it is just like any other injury, except that, you know, it's not really, because often players play through an injury. If you get concussed, you're taken off straight away. I think they are just going to have to get a little bit leaning on the players' squads. But also the other thing that I think really needs to change is as soon as you have a player come off with concussion, that the sub should come in. You shouldn't have to wait for two players.
Right.
Obviously, it's
yep.
been reduced from three to two.
Yep.
But I think that's a really quick way that needs to be changed as well.
Yeah, and there's a... So there's a number of different ways. Look at squad size, look at size of squads on game day, look at what substitutions can be made, et cetera, et cetera. So it needs a whole rethink, not straightforward. But the point of it is, if you can say, okay, mandatory 11-day stand down after two rounds of a competition, then after three rounds of a competition, you can say, oh, by the way, those development players can now play at any time. Like, if you can do it for that rule, you can do it for these other situations as well. What's the latest with Joseph Akuso Swalehi? We heard from Trent Robinson last night on NRL 360. His manager has now gone back to Rugby Australia and been re-registered as a manager. Do we read too much into that, JA?
Oh, look, no. I think it's always going to be for Joseph. When you do these one-year deals, of course, it's always going to be, your future is always going to be a talking point. And I think for a young player, that must be really hard. But he is a very, everyone says, and I've obviously interviewed him as well, he's a very level-headed young player. You don't get the feeling like something like this would overwhelm him. I thought Trent Robinson, as he always is, was really strong on NRL 360 last night, where he said it doesn't really bother him to do these one-year deals. He knows that, you know, that's the way it is, and he doesn't think about it again until the future. But if you're Rugby Australia, you do everything to get him in the game.
Yeah.
So are we going to be able to keep him in rugby league? I don't know, because the thing is that there is a salary cap, and it's kind of like it's like over renovating your house, right? You got a really nice house, but at some point, no one's going to buy it for the money that you've spent on it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That is the restrictions with the NRL.
Yeah. Who's the outside centre for the Wallabies now?
God, I don't know. You put me on the spot.
Who's the fullback for the Wallabies? But the point of it is, remember, JA, when you could name the Wallabies first 15?
Oh, yeah, the Mac Burke era.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. And then you actually end up working with them, and all you hear about is the era when you could name the Wallabies first 15. Oh, that's good. Oh, you're with us, JA? I think she's dropped out. But thank you, JA. We'll let you go. But on the point of that is, Rugby Australia need Joseph Swalehi more than Joseph Swalehi needs Rugby Australia. So the newly registered Isaac Moses walks in there and goes, "G'day, guys. What are you prepared to pay us?" It's a mozza. It's not whether he's worth it or not, or what's the market value relative to what he can get at the Roosters or anywhere else in rugby league. They need a star. They haven't got one. They have not got a star. Eddie Jones knows what he's talking about. I reckon everyone in Rugby Australia is there pushing Eddie as well. But that was sort of my point. All right, so basically what we've established with Jaleesa Apps today, that she doesn't have an intro and she doesn't have an outro either. So there you go. That was, ladies and gentlemen, Jaleesa Apps from Channel 10. All right, we'll get ourselves to a break. After the break, we're back with more. Stick around.